Mars, the discussion of on Friday, yesterday, as a matter of fact, talked to a guy by the name of Stephen Petronic, Nat Geo Monday. He's got a program about living on Mars. And, you know, it's interesting. This is one of those conversations where I'm dead set on an opinion and a desire. In this case, my desire to go to Mars if I was ever to be offered to do so. And then as it goes on and good points are made, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm staying here now. I think I'm staying here. And it was off of a point you made, hopefully you'll hear it coming up, where you said, how much is it going to cost? Got to be billions. Has to be.
Yeah.
Hanover Street Bridge is about to collapse like a poorly built Lego project.
If you listen to what the guy is saying, his whole argument for even going there is because inherently, if you look back through history, that human beings are nomadic creatures. And that now, you know, we've since learned how, you know, sustainable farming, you know, with farms and meat production and the Industrial Revolution, that has all put a cease our nomadic behavior.
Yes.
And for exactly. The first time ever in human history, we are now stagnant creatures. And he doesn't think that that's the way we really are meant to be, and that this is going to be a nomadic. I don't agree with all that. I think, like I said, like you said, you hear coming up, the Hanover Street Bridge is collapsing. The Inner Harbor is not swimmable. It's disgusting. If we were to turn all these resources back onto Mother Earth here and just focus on building this up and making it healthy again and create new ways to make this planet more sustainable and not using up all the natural resources, find more sustainable things, you know, water, the wind, the whatever, the sun.
Yeah.
Do it here. Why?
Here, I'll put it like this.
Such a disgusting, unhospitable planet and try and build there.
If your house catches on fire, you don't go looking for another one. You put out the fire first. That's what this is. The building is on fire, and we're just looking to move into a new place. Still fascinated by it, still curious. I think I'm staying here. Here our interview now. We got talking about it, moving to Mars. I'm behind the curtain.
And I don't think anything I just said made any sense, and I apologize on a Saturday morning.
Good morning. You're listening to the flagship station of your Baltimore Ravens, National Geographic Mars. Imagine living on the red planet. We're talking to award-winning journalist Stephen Petronic on the phone. Says we're going to be living on Mars by 2027. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
This has been a subject that's fascinated me personally for quite some time, ever since my father told me when I was 11 years old and my younger brother was 7 that given the opportunity, whether it be through NASA or aliens, he'd leave us immediately and fly off into the cosmos, leaving us behind forever because he was so fascinated with the universe or just couldn't stand us. And he thinks also we're going to live on Mars in this lifetime.
That's correct. Well, certainly in your lifetime, you'll be able to live on Mars. Your children will be able to live on Mars. It's a reality, and it's really going to happen.
Why would anyone want to?
Well, it's a insurance policy for humanity. We face a lot of threats on Earth that could completely wipe out civilization as we know it, if not all humans. There are a lot of possible extinction events for humans. So if you... And the truth is that we're a nomadic species, whether we like it or not. For 95% of our existence, we've been moving on beyond the horizon into the next wilderness, and we have discovered that that equals survival in the long term. We, 60,000 years ago, actual Homo sapiens started leaving Africa, and in 60,000 years, they occupied the entire Earth. But it's only in the last 5,000 years that they have not been a nomadic species and that they planted crops and domesticated animals and stayed in one place. So for the vast majority of our existence, we've been nomadic. So I think it's built into our DNA to move on. And the truth is, Earth is not a habitable place for humans to live in the long term.
Well, you make it sound real easy, but what about the trip? Wouldn't that take something like 9 months? And then adjusting, how would we adjust to life on Mars? I mean, not only physically, but emotionally.
The emotional component is huge, actually. I think it's bigger than the physical. We've had the technology to do this for more than 30 years. In fact, In the early 1970s, Wernher von Braun was beating on Richard Nixon in Congress and saying we should go to Mars and that he could land people on Mars by 1982. Instead, we built the space shuttle. If we had even a third of the budget of the space shuttle, we'd be on Mars now and have a roaring civilization there.
Yeah, but it's like he said, like Josh said, emotionally, it's pretty much like a desolate wasteland. Here I can go outside and I've got blue skies and trees and I can go walk by a lake if I want to. You're going to blast me off to this place. I'm going to land there. My brain is going to explode. I'm going to be looking out at this red sky, this dirt-filled planet. How do you account for that?
Well, in many ways, Antarctica is actually worse.
Mars is actually quite a beautiful place.
People like being in Antarctica, believe it or not. It will be an emotional adjustment, that's for sure. But I think everything that we do on Mars is going to be oriented towards high-end psychology for people to make the 240-day trip, the 8-month trip there, acceptable if not fun. I mean, Elon Musk says, you know, in his architecture for his Mars colonizer rocket, he says, we're going to have fun on this trip. And I really think the experience, people are going to be able to make a lot more money on Mars than they make on Earth. There are going to be zillions of jobs there. It's going to be quite an interesting, exciting environment. And if you think about it, more than 50% of the world's population now lives in cities. Cities are not green. They are not the outdoors. People live in their apartments. They go into buildings to work all day long.
Okay.
They don't spend time outdoors anymore.
Okay, Stephen, making good points.
The new show is Mars. It is on National Geographic. You can catch the next episode coming up Monday, November 21st at 9 o'clock. And, Stephen, weird question for you. Do you play video games by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, are you familiar with the new Call of Duty Infinite Warfare?
No.
It is based, it's okay, it's a big AAA blockbuster, and it is based on this, hypothetically, 100, 200 years in the future, where we have left Earth. There's still a population, but there is now habitats on Mars, and in their plot line of this, obviously, fictional video game, life on Mars and the colonization on Mars is for resources, that people actually aren't really into living there. They will strictly for a career. And being that we have since stripped Earth of all of its resources, and we're going to need to find fossil fuels,
right,
precious metals,
yes,
new energy sources elsewhere. Is that what you think the majority of an existence on Mars would be? Would it be for a vocation instead of a civilization and pleasure?
No, Mars will be a self-sustaining economy. You will take the resources of Mars, which will be extensive, and use them on Mars. The truth of the matter is, even if you found pure platinum or gold running in streams and you could just scoop it out of the Earth, getting it back to Earth would be so expensive that nobody would do it.
Gotcha.
Well, what's your role in all of this? Why are you so enthusiastic about colonizing Mars?
Well, I was originally going to write a book, essentially sitting at the feet of Elon Musk and taking notes as he told me his grand vision for why people should go to Mars, and the CEO of SpaceX. And he pulled out after a few months because he just didn't have time to do it. And I was kind of put upon to finish the book. And the book became the basis for, in fact, it is the basis for the 6-hour National Geographic series, which is an extremely accurate series of what I think life is really going to be like.
And we covered some of his speaking, Elon Musk of SpaceX, and some of his, frankly, blatant honesty about the first Mars travelers and explorers. He was saying this is going to be a trip where there's a better than average chance you're going to die.
Yes.
And the mindset of someone that would be willing to take that trip, I mean, you could forge the new frontier, much in the same way that people left the old country to start this country.
Well, we also got men and women on a daily basis signing up for the armed forces, which at this day and age is not the safest thing in the world. So, I mean, I don't think you'll have a problem finding people, right?
So I would ask you, Stephen,
you won't have a problem finding people, that's for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a nonprofit in Holland called Mars One that has been seeking people to go to Mars, and the first day they opened the enlistment for that, which was actually kind of stringent, they got 78,000 people.
Whoa!
To sign up.
78,000. So I think Justin's question, though, was would you go?
Oh, I would go tomorrow. I think it would be the greatest adventure of a lifetime. You would see what humans have never seen before. to look up in the sky and see Earth the size of Venus in our sky, this little teeny tiny shiny dot would be absolutely amazing.
We're talking to Stephen Petronic. He is the author of How We'll Live on Mars, which is the basis for the new National Geographic 6-hour series called Mars. And I just, my brain, obviously, I have a hard time wrapping my head around these things. How would it begin? Where would the resources come from to build everything? Are we taking everything with us out there? And what do the buildings look like? And what are they made of? And I mean, here we all know concrete, we know wood,
brick,
we know
mortar,
what windows are, brick, mortar. Where does all this stuff come from? The building materials, what do the buildings look like? How are they built? How many people's going to be the first amount of people out there? Oh, I have a lot of questions.
You have a lot of questions. Let me tell you this. The surface of Mars, what we call the regolith, which is the soil of Mars, is kind of like kitty litter, most of it, which is a clay called smectite. And when you throw just a little teeny bit of plastic in with that, form it into the shape of a brick, stick it in a microwave oven, you got the perfect building material, even more perfect than a lot of building materials
cool.
on Earth. It will not be difficult to create habitats on Mars. What will be difficult is that the walls will have to be extremely thick, maybe 12 to 16 feet thick, because there's going to be a lot of solar radiation on Mars that we're not bothered with because of our atmosphere and our magnetosphere, which is the magnetic field around Earth that deflects a lot of the stuff that's thrown at us by the sun. And that, you know, that isn't going to be available on Mars. Plus, cosmic rays are going to be a big problem on Mars that they are not on Earth.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. What about oxygen?
You're going to love it. We got machines to do that.
Mars'
atmosphere is extremely thin. It's 96% carbon dioxide, which is fatal to us very quickly. But we have this machine that was developed at MIT called MOXIE, and in fact, it's going to be launched on the next Curiosity rover. And it's a little tiny black box, and it's kind of a reverse fuel cell, and it sucks in the Martian atmosphere, strips off the carbon atom, and CO2 is actually 72% oxygen. So you get rid of the carbon, you got all the oxygen you need.
Now, I have to ask you also, Stephen Petronic, once you get people up there, let's say you get infrastructure built, you start to get yourself a livable ecosystem habitat, what about governments? Is this going to be a Mars government? Will it be a United States government? Whoever sends it up, will they be independent? Who holds sway politically over this habitat?
It's going to be totally up to the people who live on Mars. Earth is way too far away to exhibit much influence on Mars. It's going to be up to the people who are living there to form their own government. It's essentially going to be a restart of the human existence.
I'm all in.
You had to list two or three worst case horrific scenarios. Let's say 6 months to a year in. Two or three just, you know, this went to hell in a handbasket. What would those be?
Well, I'll give you a few. First of all, since the Mars atmosphere is so thin, incoming asteroids, I mean, we get hit by asteroids and meteorites all the time on Earth. Even if it's a small one, something the size of a basketball, it doesn't burn up in the atmosphere on Mars the way it does on Earth. So an impact hit by something the size of a basketball on the little place where we've started building a colony on mm-hmm. Mars would be absolutely disastrous. It would kill everybody. Mm-hmm. You are at the mercy of the machinery that you have there.
Right.
So if you've got a MOXIE machine to make oxygen and you've got this machine called WAVAR that sucks the humidity out of the Martian atmosphere for water, if any part of your infrastructure breaks down, you die. So there's going to be redundancy, but even with redundancy, there's going to be a lot of difficulties.
Right. Like here, I mean, I could have no money. I could be hungry. I could be shoeless, clothesless, but I could go live under a bridge somewhere and still be okay because we're adapted to living here. On Mars, not only, I mean, you need to worry about 1,000 other things.
It's a house of cards up there.
It's not 1,000 other things. It takes food, water, shelter, and clothing to live on Mars. On Earth, it takes food, water, shelter, clothing, and oxygen.
What about
to
medicine?
Live on Mars.
Would medicine work up there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're gonna take medicines with you. They're light and they're, you know, completely dehydrated. You know, we've learned from people who sail around the world single-handed and stuff like that that a well-stocked medical kit is and a good book on first aid and minor surgery is really all you need to stay
what
alive.
What about pets? Could you bring your pets along?
You could bring your pet, but it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Money well spent.
And food is going to be very expensive on Mars initially because all of it is going to be shipped there initially from Earth. So it will be in cargo supply missions that land before people land on Mars, and then it will every 2 years when there's a good window to launch for Mars, there will be more shipments of food. You know, you have to kind of compare this to the way it was in the early colonialization of the Americas by the Europeans. In 1620, one ship with 105 people on it sails for what is now the United States and lands at Plymouth Rock. And within 2 years, about 20% of that colony is dead. But that's one ship in 1620. 30 years later, Boston is a city of 20,000 people.
Wow. Yeah.
And hundreds of ships are coming every year. Thousands, actually.
Well, fingers crossed.
And that's exactly what's going to happen on Mars.
Okay.
I'm sitting on that ship right beside you, Stephen Petronic. I'm with you all in. I don't care if there's a 20% chance of making it there safely. I would love to be one of the first people that could put my stamp on being a colonist on Mars. And I have a rack of kids that are driving my ass up the wall.
He wants off Earth.
Okay, I want to be a colonist, and I want a little peace and quiet.
It's Stephen Petronic. How We'll Live on Mars is the book, and National Geographic, the six-hour series Mars. It is on Mondays, I believe.
Mondays at 9 Eastern time.
God,
it's so cool. This coming up episode is called Mars Grounded. Then you've got Pressure Drop, Power, Darkest Days. You cover it all. Big and small. We appreciate it, Stephen. Absolutely fascinating stuff. And personally speaking, I hope you're correct.
Thank you.